We are on Yudalamud Beis. Let's start by the two dots. In the middle of the Amud.
Amar Rav Yeshua.
Yeah. We, a couple weeks ago, did a little bit of this, but we'll start with this. Amar Rav Yeshua ben Karcha, Lama Kadma Parshas Shema. So the Mishnah, all the way back when, in the beginning of the parak, in Yigim Amud Aleph, Rav Yeshua ben Karcha asked the question, why is the first paragraph first, before the second paragraph, why Shema before Bahayim Shema, what's the reason for? And he gives a reason. The Gemara is going to come up with a second answer, which we're going to see right now. Tosus asks the question, which we basically ended off with, the very top Tosus. So what's the Gemara's question? Why should we say the Shema before the second paragraph, Bahayim Shema? We just had last week's Parsha, Haschana. This upcoming Parsha, Akev, is the second paragraph. So what do you mean, why is it done this way?
Right.
That's the order.
Okay,
see, so that's exactly what you put
in. I didn't look, but that's...
So you weren't here 2 weeks ago?
No.
Okay, so...
I'm sorry, this is a camera in here. It was booked up to me, so I had a, spy.
I guess so. So see, this very... Taptosis. V'im toimer tepuklei the kadma b'tar. What do you mean, why is Shema before Bahayim Shema? Say, because that's first. V'yesh lama, you can say, the halkakamar, this is what it's saying. Lama kadma af l'parsha sitzes the kadma l'kul. The third paragraph, parsha sitzes, is not found in Sefer Devarim, it's in Sefer B'midbar. It's in parshat Shlach, very end of Shlach. question of what's doing there, but that's where it is. Anyway, so once you say that, you can maybe say, that's the question. You can't say it's in chronological order, right, it's the order of the Torah.
Since this comes before the other
right,
stuff.
And yet we put that last. El vaday ein anu choshishin lezeh, that we're not concerned of. She kodemes b'Torah, just because one paragraph comes before the other, that's not a reason. Yishum damrinon in book and bukhar, because we said that the Torah is not written in chronological order. In Cain, Hayolanu Lahaktim Bahaya Shihima Daberis Bulash Rab.
It still doesn't really answer. Tosus really doesn't answer the question.
He ends off saying the second paragraph should be the paragraph that should be said first.
Right,
it's
so he doesn't
answer
why we say Shema
Yahya Shema. The Gemara is going to do that. The Gemara is going to answer it. All Tosus did was ask why we needed to ask the question.
Right.
Why we needed to ask the question. So, that was the note. So then we said, because you can't say in order, because the third paragraph is clearly not in order. Third paragraph comes first. All right, so let's continue. Let's now see the Gemara. Now we understand it's a valid question. Now let's see the Gemara's answer to this question. Good evening. Tanya. Rav Shimon ben Yochai Oymar, there's some Gemara's over there. Rav Shimon ben Yochai says as follows. We'll take on a few, it'd be appreciated. It's on the bottom shelf on the right. Yes. Yeah. You can take another Masechta too, but it's hard to follow along. Or in Yidal on the days. Alright, so Tanya Rav Shimon ben Yochai Omar, Bedinu, Sheyaktim Shema LaBahayim Shemoah. It's appropriate and proper that this is how it's done, that the Shema comes before Bahayim Shemoah. Because after all, Shezeh Lilmot, Vezeh Lamed. The first paragraph talks about learning. The second paragraph
is teaching.
So therefore, better.
You gotta learn before you can teach.
Exactly. That's right. That's how the Ritva explains this question, not that necessarily learning is better than teaching, because ultimately the purpose of learning is to teach. But that, as you said, first you have to learn, then you teach. Bahayim Shemo Levayomer, the reason why you have the second paragraph there, is Shezeh, this one is teaching, Bezeh Lassos. The third paragraph is all about doing stuff. All right. So that's a good
first
answer.
You gotta learn, then you gotta teach, and then you can do.
Right. Even though the question was posed last week, 2 weeks ago, that generally you would maybe think after you learn, then you do, then you teach.
Right, because you see if it works.
Right. But apparently...
Well, we had sisters, but sisters was an Anton.
That's also true. So, anyway, so that's what the Gemara says at this point. The first paragraph is learning, second paragraph is teaching, third paragraph is lasso's doing. So ask the Gemara, atu what? Shema lilot isbe, lamed lasso's leisbe. You're telling me the first paragraph of the Shema only has elements of learning in it.
Right.
What are you talking about? It also has teaching. And also has doing. Leisbe it does not have? Certainly it does. Boksiv, it's written, Vishinantam, right? You're supposed to teach the Torah. It says that in the second paragraph. Excuse me, in the first paragraph. Thanks. Uksharatem, uksavatem. And it also mentions
writing and, you know,
putting on the tefillin and writing of the Zuzah, right? So how could you tell that the first paragraph has in it learning? What do you mean? It also has in it the elements of teaching. Doing and teaching also? Vasu, and a second question. Furthermore, Bahayim Shemoa, you're telling me the second paragraph is Lomo, all it does is have has teaching in it. Hud Isbe, that's what is in it. Velasos Lesme, but doing it does not have in it. Voksiv, all you have to do is open up this week's Parsha. And you'll see that it says Ukshartem, Uksavta. The second paragraph also has elements of lassos of doing.
It also has the doing of Avodas Hashem.
It does, right.
Yeah, I mean, like, if you listen and you pay attention, you'll have good crops, a good field, but if you don't, Charaf Hashem, God's going to punish you.
That kind of blurs the line between the three distinctions we made earlier, because when are you, is teaching an action, and isn't learning an action, and isn't teaching, you're learning, and like, obviously, you know,
we can really,
we have strict definitions, but when we really break it down, we can get into other...
Because lassos really could be part
but
of
the
learning.
But the whole key, though, is Shema Yisrael, Hashem HaKein, Hashem HaKein. That should be the whole key. We say that's the most, we've learned that that's the most important thing we talk about. And our suckers and all the other things like that.
Right.
But this is the, and how with the Kavanah, special Kavanah we're supposed to have, with Shema and Be'echad and everything else like that. So since that's got to come first, and Shema... And Vyahafta is written as one entity, so it stands to reason that would be first.
So we brought down 2 weeks ago the opinion of Shagasaria that said as follows, that you would maybe think logically you should say the first paragraph first, because the Shema in itself, that pasuk, there's Kavana, there's Deraisa. The other paragraph thereafter.
Well, since
there's
it's not, you know, it's the appropriate.
But he says that Lerov Poskim, actually the majority of opinions hold that the paragraph of even Bahayim Shemoa is Midrabanan. The first paragraph is Midraisa, and there are many opinions that say that the second paragraph is also Midrabanan.
How can it be Daroma if it's Beferish in the Torah?
There's a lot of psukim that are Beferish in the Torah. But the question is, did you fulfill... Or you mekayim the mitzvah midiraisa. So many hold that just as long as you said the first paragraph, you're at least.
That obviates the whole discussion of the Gemara. Why is the Gemara wasting time then?
Well, if we could bring down the art scroll, I think it just has the first paragraph, right?
That what?
In the beginning of in the beginning of chakras, it just has Shema in the first paragraph,
right.
and I wonder why it's going to have the whole thing.
Right.
He's talking about Psuke Dezuma.
Yeah.
Before, right? And
it doesn't have my own.
Well, but you're not really Yotze, you know, that's like maybe see with the Eben, maybe if you came late to Shul, but I mean,
right.
Was it one continuous thing? What part, like you just said, you said by Yah, it's not Deraisa.
So there's some people that hold the second paragraph is not Deraisa, so he asked the question, so why isn't that logic and reason enough to say? He says, no. Because if you look, we find, for example, when it comes to Kiddush on Friday night.
Right.
Kiddush on Friday night, there's two brachos.
Right.
It's actually a machlokes Mishnah Beis Hillel, which one comes first. We hold like Beis Hillel. But first you say the bracha on the wine, then on the day. Now the mitzvah, D'oraisa,
is Shamar Shiyom HaShabbos L'Kadosh,
which is the second bracha.
But since the L'Kadoshos, you mean Kiddush on the thing, so you might think that that would be first, because how are you shmirin Shabbos? You mean Kiddush.
Right. But yet, what do? We first make a bracha on the wine.
Right.
That even if you wouldn't have wine, you could still, you'll still be mekayim the mitzvah deraisa.
Right, because technically you can make a challah if you didn't have wine.
Right. So he learns out from here that just because one is a derabanan or one's a deraisa, that does not necessarily mean that that's reason to say that, that one should come before the other. So you see that even a derabanan can come before a deraisa. So too, maybe the second paragraph or the third paragraph could also be the first paragraph. Why does it have to be this way? So for some reason, the Gemara says that one's learning, one's teaching, one's doing, what exactly lasos means. The Gemara is defining lasos as uksharta and uksavta. So the Gemara says that it doesn't really mean it's as literal as we read it. El hachakam, this one. Bedinhu shitaktim shmal vahim shmal. Why should the first paragraph come first? Shizeh limod lamed vilasos. It's not just that it has learning, but it means it has all the elements. It has, it
all
has
package.
Right. So when it means, so what do you mean? It says it has learning. The first time it's brought down, it means it has this extra element that nothing else is found by the other two paragraphs, which do not have the element of
it's
learning.
It's like a cloud of Prada must live to a certain extent.
Then it's
that everything's in it.
Right. Exactly.
Then everything's you farate this volume Shemoa and then
right.
The tzitzis.
Exactly. The second paragraph doesn't have learning, but it has the teaching and the doing. All it has in it is doing. It doesn't have anything about learning Torah or teaching Torah. It has actions. Right. So those are all actions.
They consider remembrance an action.
It's interesting how when it comes to when it, this paragraph by Yomer, even though it does have other things, apparently it's really connecting itself to the idea of tzitzis. That's really
what is
the
tzitzis?
Tzitzis?
Well, wait a second, what does tzitzis signify?
It says or eat sandwich sandwich for sandwich comes.
But what tzitzis is supposed to be the whole Kariyak mitzvahs, the whole
doing the mitzvahs.
But you're looking at them and remembering.
Exactly. That's what I was going to say. You're remembering it. It's a zikaron. Right. You look at them, and that's why we don't do it at night, because you can't remember, you can't see in the whole nine yards.
Right.
Well, it says, asu lahem tzitzis, like, make yourself tzitzis.
Oh, good.
So that's the first part. That's the
so that could be the lasos.
The doing.
And then seeing them, I guess, is also an action.
Or resembles, so.
I don't know how
the Gemara is defining. The thing is of see, what are you seeing them for? What is it supposed to, it's supposed
to
remind be to, as a reminder, zikaron of all the mitzvahs.
Vas yisem also.
Right.
And to do them. So it's not just
to do all of
staring at them and not doing anything is worthless. Right? We have to actually be a man of action. So it's not the Laman Tizkru. You look at it, remember it, in order to do them. Vasi Semelson is the key part, I think, of that paragraph. And therefore, if you want to say that tzitzis represents Taryag Mitzvos, then you're looking at them in order to do.
But you know something?
So it's really
and also,
to
there's
do
a learning
it.
Element involved also. Daber of Bnei Yisrael.
And that's teaching again.
That's teaching them
teaching.
About tzitzis, the significance of tzitzis. If you really want to look at it, that itself is teaching too. Well, otherwise, it's not saying, Asisim, do tzitzis and things that the Chal Yisrael. It's Vayom Hashem and Halosh Daber of Bnei Yisrael. Martin assumes tzitzis, Akamfebidehem. So he has to teach them of the significance of this thing. They're going to do it, but first they have to be taught about it.
Right. It's hard not to say that all three of them don't have all three.
Right.
Because it's hard to separate teaching and learning and action.
Rashi, sticking very literal to the text, which is about 20 lines down from the top, Vizel Lassos. Vizel Lassos, Vayomer Inba Ella Asiya. So it says.
Interesting.
I mean, that's really
what
the
Gemara
says.
That's really
what the Gemara says.
It's not a brilliant
Kiddush
of Rashi. I mean, Rashi has a lot of brilliant.
Well, what he may be bavorning your questions, that maybe it's you would think you can look into it and see, well, it's really learning, it's this. No. The whole premise of this paragraph is just doing. It's not about learning. It's not about teaching. Obviously, in order to do anything,
you gotta learn that. Go sail a boat. Go drive a car. Take a lesson. You gotta have a bit of a problem.
Right. So when it says lassos, obviously it's not doing something blindly.
Right.
Obviously,
so
there's something.
To teach you. You have to be taught.
Right.
Learn about it somehow.
Right.
All three are connected. You have to change.
Right.
Except for stops, obviously, the shem to Moshe. But after that, everyone has to. In order to do an action, you have to learn it. In order to be learning, you have to be taught it. In order to teach it, you have to have learned it. In order to
right.
So it's
and this is the whole reason why we're saying that one paragraph comes before the other. Having all three, having two, or only having this one element, the palazzos. That's the reason. One of the reasons the Gemara says why the paragraphs of the Shema are written in that particular order, even though it's not chronological, as we saw in Tosfos. Okay, so that's one answer. The Gemara then is bothered why we had to go through all of this, why we jumped through hoops to come up with some type of an answer. But typically, remember Rabbi Shimon Karcha? Why don't you just learn it out from the opinion of Rabbi Shimon Karcha? Who's that? Who's Rabbi Shimon Karcha? So Rabbi Shimon Karcha, which the Gemara is going to tell us it in the answer, but it's from our Mishnah. Our Mishnah, Yud Gimel Amud Aleph, said, I guess it's worthwhile looking back at it, a relatively lengthy Mishnah. Toward the very end, before we had the Gimel Mem, the Gemara, a couple lines above it, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha asked the question of Lama Kama Parsha Shema Levahim Shemoa. So the Mishnah already says the answer. He responds, Kedei Shikabel Olav Ol Malchus Shemayim Tchila V'Avrakach Mikabel Olav Ol Mitzvos, which means that you have to, the first paragraph of the Shema is accepting upon yourself O Malchus Shemayim. There's a king, there's a god, there's yoke of heaven, as they translate it. And then afterwards, a couple of old mitzvahs.
But you could say, and as we've learned, in V'hayam Shemoa, you're really counting O Malchus Shemayim, because if we are like forced, I'm trying using the wrong word, to listen to the mitzvahs, because if we do it, we'll be rewarded. If we don't, Mekabel O Malchus Shemayim, we're going to be punished. That's what it says in Vayim Shemoa. That's the ikar of the first part of Vayim Shemoa. So that isn't that Kabbalah's Ol Malchus Shemayim. What in essence is the Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim? What is an ol? An ol is a bird, correct? How would you define it? For want of a better word.
That's a literal translation.
Okay, not that I'm Rashi, but okay. Perhaps how else would you define it?
The Kabbalah Ol Malchus Shemayim. The way that to understand this Mishnah, the way that Rabbi Shimon Karcha is saying it, is the word Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, as you're acknowledging that there is a God. And until you acknowledge that there is a God, so the fact that I'm doing these random acts, I'm shaking some branches, I'm sitting in a booth, I'm eating matzah, means nothing. First you have to accept that there's a God who gave you mitzvos, then you can do the mitzvos.
But isn't Bahayim and Shemoa the same thing? That's the same, because if you look at Shemoa, it's the same Shema Israel, same Shorosh, the same hearing, same acceptance, the same Makabo or Makabo Shema, if you want to analyze.
It's a different kind of language. You're not making a declaration.
Well,
it says, and then when you will come into the land, it's more of like a informative than a declarative. Right?
Yeah.
Shema is like you said. Shema is like a declaration.
No, but it does have things to come here. That's Makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim in its essence. What else is there? So why is that really different?
You know?
What?
It's more of an instruction.
No. You can play semantics, but it's a pretty similar Makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim says, Im Shemoa Tishmul Mitzvah Sai. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem. So it's the same.
Who am I listening to? Bahayim Shemoa.
Right, it's not different. It's not Hashem talking to us and then Shema is us talking to
Hashem. Bahayim Shemoa means what? It means that.
And then
it says that you can hearken to my commandments. That's Makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim. How do you show Hashem that you're Makabel Ol Malchus Shemayim?
By saying Shema Yisrael. That's clear. That's very
clear. How do you know that? Why can't you say, I'm a Kabbalah Malchus Shammai by ever getting up every day and davening and putting on sitting?
That's more implicit. The direct way is actually saying it.
No, but here, Lavo says, Shem Kefim Lavdo B'chol Vavchem. But how, you compare, here, put the words. First you have Shema and Shema. Then you have Ahavta Yisrael Shem Elokecha. And here you have Hashem. Lavo Hashem. How much more similar can you get?
Where in the second paragraph do we acknowledge the oneness of God?
That's also says that Elohim knew. My God, personal.
But it could be a...
Well, yeah, well, basically, where are you on the oneness of God? So he's warning you against it. I'm the man. You know, with all due respect, I'm the man. You run after these guys. You
it's
guys
true.
Have
it's
trouble.
Obviously very similar, but
it's really very similar.
I mean,
you know, you just break
point
it down.
Is like implicit. You know what I mean? Everyone knows that line. Everyone, you know, when you're about to die, you wake up and you go to sleep.
I understand that because it's first, and it's easier to remember the first line. It's like I still, for my life, I can't know more than the Rabbanim. I know the first line about the Rabbanim, and I watch most people have to look at that thing on the Siddur. People daven for years have a problem with bumping, but they know the first word is modem, so you know the first thing is Shema, because you know you all Kriya Shema. You know that's why it's in front of you. But if you stop and really want to analyze it, they're so similar in many ways.
Absolutely. I mean,
it's a similar theme.
I think it's very clear,
though. They had to make it clear. They're making it, stating very clear, so there's no like equivocation or indirect or something like
but
that.
But his whole thing is based on Kibbalah Malchus Shamayim, and I'm saying that this is pretty much similar. And you become
does it mention a personal God? Because it says Elokeinu in the Shema, and Vahaya is very general. It says when
first you have to say Elokeinu. I mean, Elokeinu was our God. You're not saying it's a personal God. Shema Yisrael Hashem Shali. Hashem Achad. You're saying Hashem Elokeinu. You're saying we as a collective, B'nai Yisrael, is accepting, you know, God, as far as that's concerned. You really want to go from the language.
Right.
This is what the Mishnah says.
I understand that.
So,
well, it's the Mishnah, Rav Karcha, what Shmuel Ben Karcha says.
Right,
in the Mishnah.
Right.
It's not that the Mishnah says. I'm just saying I find it very, very similar that he says because I mean it may be splitting hairs, but it is still very, very similar one to the other.
Yeah. There's no Rashi on the Mishnah that really defines it, but there will be when we go back to the Gemara. Let's finish up this part of the Mishnah. So he said, "O Malchus Shemayim," then "O Mitzvos." Bahoim Shmol Mayomer Shibahoim Shemoa Noheg Bin Bayomir Lila. The second paragraph is day and night.
Zuzo
Bayomer Ainu Noeg El Bayom Bovad. So therefore we're gonna have something which is Tadir Vishino Tadir, something which is more frequent, Tadir Kodir. So that's how he answers it. Now if you actually the Gemara is asking the question of we already had a valid answer.
So what are you starting for?
We need a second answer, maybe a third answer already. Mm-hmm. What's the purpose of this? So that's what the Gemara asked. The Tepik Leim Mid Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha. Why don't we just learn out the answer from that which Rabbi Yeshua Ben Karcha said in our Mishnah. And before we go further, put this Rashi, which is kind of difficult, I think. I'll just glance upon it over here. Rashi says,
which Rashi?
I don't know. I had it.
I find, look at this, all mitzvos.
Yeah, well, where is that?
It's in the middle. It's about 20
years. Yeah, that's the Rashi.
Well, he's saying the hanachas tefillin.
All mitzvot.
It's all mitzvos.
Of course, if you look at the first paragraph.
Right, it doesn't say
it also
that.
Has tefillin, right?
Right.
So
hello, you know, again, another similar parallel. Between Bahayim Shemoa and Tishma.
Right. So that's it's a very
and how is he saying? Well, how do you calculate all Malchus Shemayim? You're putting on tefillin. Well, hello. So that's the same thing.
What's kind of fascinating is that when it comes to why do you do all Malchus Shemayim? You do all Malchus Shemayim, and then the second paragraph, which is all mitzvos, which the Rashi is defining as putting on the tefillin. Which in reality, in halacha, we do the exact opposite. You're supposed, we're going to see, the Gemara is going to say,
first.
You have to make sure you're wearing the tefillin before you say the Shema.
Yeah.
So you already, you're doing all mitzvos
before you before the Kabbalah
Shema.
So
it's kind of, yeah, I'm not really sure. But nonetheless, that's the Gemara's question. Yeah. Oh, definitely.
That just throws another
monkey wrench.
Yeah, that's just another really big problem.
It's not, put it this way, it's not a cut and dry situation.
Well, the Shema is in the tefillin.
Correct.
Now it's getting even more confusing.
So all the parshios are in the tefillin also, so there you go.
Right. So now we're back.
Yeah, we're back to square one. You haven't really, you know.
The Mishnah doesn't, unfortunately, there's no, we don't have any portion that, you know.
And there's nobody that really says anything.
That's how they explain. They explain that, you know, Shema Yisrael is the true Malchus Shemayim. The question is, where do we, why is it the second paragraph?
Where does it begin, right?
I mean, you can interpret everything with Malchus Shemayim. Like you said, it's true. There's no, I mean, every mitzvah is,
I mean, how would you, what would you consider Malchus, accepting the covenant of Hashem, La'avos Hashem, and to do his mitzvahs? I mean, how else would you do it? Okay, there's a God, and it's like saying, okay, I mean, you can say, okay, I acknowledge there's a God in heaven. So
I guess through a declarative faith.
You have to you say it and pray to him and learn and do all the things that we do as Jews, and that's how we're makabel hashem, because otherwise you're not.
I guess if you say a declarative statement with the proper kavana.
I mean, because with all due respect and l'habdil elf, you know, say okay, the king of England is a king. I acknowledge that there's a king in England.
Right.
But how do I differentiate the king, God, the king? Is that I do his bidding. I do, you know, we love him, we worship him, we do his mitzvahs. That is, that makes, separates the men from the boys. Otherwise, you're just acknowledging
that's
the
an
king.
Actual reality, but I think that there's something to our words and statements that we make, declarative statements in general.
I mean,
well, that's true, but not in Judaism.
The first paragraph of the Shema, the first sentence is also so extremely rich in exactly its meaning. For example, in Echad, the Dalet,
right.
You're supposed to think
of
so these are things in that sentence, right. Which are unique in that are not found in other parts of the second paragraph. So by you saying the Shema and understanding all the kavanas attached to that very first sentence, the level of being mekabel Ol Malchus Shemayim is greater in that sentence than in other parts of the Torah.
Perhaps like the words themselves, and the letters obviously things. I mean,
yeah, the more you study that, the more you study the pasuk, the less of a problem you will have with the question that we're having. You know, we'll understand on a greater level why that pasuk in particular represents Ol Malchus Shemayim more than anything else. So the Gemara answers as follows. Chada v'od kama. Very strange answer. The Gemara says, yeah, that's one, and this is another answer. Right? The question is, so why do you need another answer? The Gemara doesn't get into that. But the Gemara basically says, yeah, you're right. Rabbi Yeshua, you know, he had one explanation. It was brought down. And now we're coming up with our own, you know. Rabbi Yeshua ben Karach had a great answer. V'od kama. Chada kadeshi kabel olam ol malchus shemayim tchila v'yachach kabel olam mitzvos. That was one reason. V'od, and furthermore, mishum d'isbe hani mile achmir yisrael has these as well. So therefore, since we want to chime in with our own answer. Which, generally speaking, let's say for example when the Yevatosis asks a question, gives an answer, and then it says, V'od, furthermore, another answer, V'od Yesh Lomar. The critical reading of, let's say, Tosus, is the reason why Tosus is answering a second answer is because there's something bothering him with the first answer.
Right.
That there's a problem with the first answer. I don't know what that is, but probably that's how you would have to interpret the Gemara as well. The fact that Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha had this answer, it was not completely satisfactory to everyone. It's not necessarily something which everyone even agreed with. And one possible way to say that his answer was not so great, I should say it that way, is the second Tosfos. It doesn't get into the first and second paragraph, but the third. Why does Rabbi Shimon Karka say the second paragraph is said before the third, because that's Binbio Mimalayo. Third paragraph only applies at night. So if you look at the Tosos, V'yomer Eino Noheges El B'yom, Mekan Mashma Kvar Shimon. So it implies that the Pinyin Rav Shimon, as it says in Sefer Makos and Perek Chelos, it says that Tzitzis Mitzvah Saseh Shazman Groma. That Tzitzis is a positive mitzvah bound by time.
Yeah, daytime.
Right, because that means it's a day. It's daytime. It's in at night. No day. Yes. Right. V'cheni se b'kedushin, dekomer tzitzis mitzvah saseh shazman grom. Says it explicitly over there. So, but without going any further in the Tosfos, that's according to the opinion of Shimon. Not everyone agrees with that. There are mafarshim. There are opinions among the Amorayim that some actually hold that tzitzis is also, we don't hold like this, knowing Belial at night, right? It's not a mitzvah, it's not
some people in mitzvahs.
That's also some. That's also
right?
Yeah, so
well,
the Arizal
is
to
go to sleep and all night.
I thought you're not supposed to sleep in
mitzvahs.
There are those that are knowing to sleep in their mitzvahs, actually. Yeah. But that's not even necessarily because they hold it's a mitzvah, say, Shalom is my grandma. They hold for Shmirah, for other reasons, to where it's asleep. That's what some people do.
I thought it was no good.
Some people don't. Some people hold that it may be inappropriate somewhere it says it. But, you know, if a person is on the Madrega to properly protect them, guard them, and show the Kedusha at that time, then it could be. Anyway, so what is the point? Without going further, the point is that there's some people that hold tzitzis as being beyond the light also at night. Right? So
let me ask you a question. So those people that hold that way, why don't women have tzitzis?
They do. The Gemara actually brings down in Sukkah that there's that a das yachid, which you don't hold like, he made tzitzis for his wife. That's what it's brought down. And because he held, it was also...
It's not a problem. Right. I mean, that's the only real reason that they wouldn't wear it.
That's right. So, not everyone agrees to what... We paskin that way. There's a shiloh... Exactly what that means. Does it mean if I'm wearing nighttime clothes, pajamas, but I'm wearing them in the middle of the day, which is four corners, that's... When it says you're putting tzitzis, it doesn't mean, like, okay, the tzitzis that we wear. It means if you're wearing a four-cornered garment at night, you do not have to put tzitzis on them. You can walk around with a four-cornered garment at night, right? But not everyone holds like that. So machlokas, what exactly that means. One opinion is that it means the second it's dark, it doesn't make a difference. Even if you're wearing daytime clothing, once the sun sets, that daytime garment does not need tzitzis on it. The other opinion holds that no, that a daytime garment needs tzitzis even at night. But when it says that you do not have to wear tzitzis at night, it means on garments which are generally worn at night, which means that if you would wear a garment, which is pajamas, which has four corners, in the middle of broad daylight, that opinion holds that garment does not need tzitzis because it's considered ksus lyle, nighttime garment. But every way we hold like, there is certainly an opinion, both of them hold that it's bound by time, but not everyone holds like that. So what am I trying to say? I'm trying to point out that the Mishnah, Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, who differentiates the second, third paragraph, is one's ben miyom ben lyle, one's not, not everyone holds like that. And that could possibly be one of the reasons why the Gemara comes up with a second answer. Because not everyone agrees that tzitzis are only during the day. Right, so that's a possible reason why the Gemara comes up with another answer to the question. Okay, let's move on. Let's get into a little story. A story of Rav. Very interesting piece over here. Rav, Mashi Yode, this is what he did. Apparently, as the Ritva explains, he probably seems like he did this all the time. This was a common occurrence, which is not what the Gemara is going to end off saying at the very three lines on the bottom, which we'll get to today. This is what he did. He washed his hands, v'kar kriyashma, v'anach tefillin, But so without going further, what do we see over here? We see
first.
No, right. You said Kriyat Shema and then he worked film, which is he was Makabal Malach Shemayim, right?
After the fact.
Before you put on the tefillin, which apparently shouldn't be correct. And in fact, if we jump two lines to the bottom, Omer Ula says, Kol Kari Kriya Shema Bula Tefillin, Kihul Neid Eda Sheker Batzma. You say the Shema without wearing tefillin, it's like you're a false prophet, you're a false testimony. And the basic reason behind this is because you're busy saying I'm wearing tzitzis, I'm wearing tzitzis, I have a mezuzah, I wear tefillin. There's no tefillin on it. You found it. So you can't do that. Obviously not on Shabbos. It's the time when there's no tefillin. So Rav apparently did something quite wrong. He said the Shema. Then he put on the tefillin, and then afterward, which seems to be completely out of order. And the Ritva goes into this, exactly when did he put on the tefillin, because the Shaila is, if he put the way it sounds, just a simple reading of the Gemara, is he said the Shema, he davened, said the Shema, and right before the Shemon Esrei, he put on this tefillin, right? But he said that's a problem because he's not being some Gula Tefillah. Right? You can't just say the Shema and then sit around and wait for a whole while and then Davar Shemon Esrei. You're supposed to say the Shema, Goal Yisrael, and without hesitation immediately Davar Shemon Esrei. So the Ritva says, what did he do? He put them on during the Shemon Esrei, which is unbelievable.
That's
so he says, that's what he says. He says, "V'yesh lomer shu hayam aniach osam ba'od shehu mispalim," which is kind of hard to understand, but that's what he did. "V'lo hayam avarach lehen ad l'achik tefila," but he actually said the bracha on his tefillin after Shemon Esrei. So the Ritva says, "What do you mean?"
That.
Right, because you're supposed to first
make a bracha before when you put your arm here.
Right, over lasiyos, you're supposed to first do the say bracha, then the mitzvah.
Right.
So he says, interestingly enough, because that rule doesn't always apply. That rule only applies when it comes to you fulfilling the mitzvah and it's finished. However, for example, he says by sukkah. It's interesting. You go to a sukkah. The bracha, the mitzvah is. You're dwelling in the sukkah.
Right.
So really, the second you walk in there, you're being mekayim a mitzvah. So the shaila is, if you're supposed to say the bracha before you do the mitzvah, as the Ritva, you should really say the bracha leishiv a sukkah outside of the sukkah, and then walk into the sukkah, right? Instead, what do? We make kiddush, and then, some people incorporate in the kiddush, or during the hamotzi, but it's done much afterwards. And he says the reason is because when it comes to sitting in the sukkah, it's not just it's done. It's you can say a bracha after kiddush, and still the mitzvah is after it, right? So he says the same thing by tefillin. Tefillin isn't that you just put them on and then you recite the mitzvah, right? But rather it is that every moment you're wearing the tefillin, it's a mitzvah. So therefore, it's not an issue that he put on the tefillin and said a bracha afterwards. Probably after he said the bracha, he moved his tefillin around or something, made some type of movement of his tefillin. But nonetheless, that's not an issue. It's not an issue of ovelas yas, because he was still going to do the mitzvah, continue to do the mitzvah thereafter. Okay. So anyway, that's how the Ritva explains this piece of what he was doing, of how he, when exactly he put on the tefillin. But the Gemara asks the question, v'hechi avid hachi, how could he possibly have done this? How could he put on his say the Shema before the tefillin? Vasanyam, but we learned in a brace that says like this: Hachoy perchuch lemes, but kever. Person Rachman al Salon passed away, and there you are. You're digging a grave, right? You're digging up for a mace. Now, and all of a sudden, it's Zman Kriya Shema. So the question is: should I stop? Let the mace just sitting there. Exactly. That's what he's. That's what the Gemara says. Patur mikriya shma, umina tefila, umina tefillin, umikol mitzvos amoris patur. So you patur from everything, right? Because you're being, as you said, osik mitzvah. Mm-hmm. That's very interesting. The Tosfos asks a very cute question, because the sensitivity of Tosfos, he asks like this. The second to last Tosfos, Mikol Mitzvos Amoris B'Torah. The Im Tomar, you want to ask, I can ask you this question. V'chi Kriyeshma Lo Havi B'Chlal Mitzvos Amoris B'Torah. Why does the Gemara say this language, that you're potter from the Shema, and you're also potter from every other mitzvah that the Torah says? What do you mean? Just say that you're potter while you're involved in the mace, digging this grave, this kever, Mikol Mitzvos Amoris B'Torah. Why does it have to say from the Shema? Right? You hear the question? Mm-hmm. So, and that's generally throughout Shas, that's how it's labeled. You're Pater from Shema, and this and this, and all mitzvahs are
special, obviously.
Right, that's how Tosfos has to answer the question.
Yeah.
There's something unique about the Shema that you would maybe think is different. The Yeshlaimer says Tosfos, if it was not written explicitly Kriya Shema, that you, the digger, the grave digger, do not have to say the Shema. Halamina the davka hani delays luhu kvias zman. Maybe you would think, when do I not have to do all these other mitzvos? It's other stuff which I can do tomorrow, I can do next week. So why should I do them right now? I'm involved in a mitzvah, do that mitzvah, and then next week you do the other mitzvah. That's what it means to be called Mitzvah Samaras Batorah. But you would think of a Kriya Shema, when it comes to the Shema, the Kviya Luhuzman, that is a very set time. And you're looking at your watch, and if you do not say the Shema at this moment, that time is going to pass. Lo hoyel, Vizman Oyver Kamashma. So you would maybe think that it's different, that when it comes to the Kriya Shema, we would require to say the Shema. Because it's a mitzvah yiveres, mitzvah passes by. That's the reason why the Gemara says that when you're digging, you are putter, not only mikol mitzvah samaras b'Torah, but even from Shema, even a mitzvah which just passes by.
I'm sure there's other mitzvahs
that are
time dependent, obviously.
That's
Krishma is not the only one in that category.
Correct. That's correct.
So, still a question.
Yes.
Why are they simple enough?
Very good. So the question is, why are they picking on Kriya Shema as opposed to anything else?
Yeah. Not because we're learning about Shema.
That could be. It also could be Kriya Shema is something which is on a daily basis. Very good. The Beis Yosef asks the question which may answer your question. It says, what did Tosfos just answer? The reason why we had to mention the Shema, and Mikol HaMitzvos Amoris B'Torah is not enough, is because you would maybe think Shema is different, and you would have to say it. Kamash Malon, even the Shema you don't have to say. So he asks, so beautifully on Tosfos, says, 1 second. If that's so, what did Tosfos ask? Tosfos asked, why does it have to say Patur Mikriya Shema if it already says Mikol HaMitzvos Amoris B'Torah? So Tosfos answered that you would maybe think the Shema is on a different level. You should definitely say it. So he asks the Kasha, he says, well, 1 second. So then maybe why doesn't the Gemara just say Patur Mikriya Shema? And you would understand. If you're Patur from Kriya Shema, you must also be Patur from everything else, right? So that's how he asks the question. Back on Tosfos. What, right? If you're Patur from the Shema, which is a mitzvah of Veras, you're going to pass by, certainly. So he says like this, no. You have to mention also Kriya Shema and Kol Mitzvos Amoris B'Torah. Why? He says like this. Tani Kriya Shema, if it only mentioned the Shema your Pater, Havamina Davka Mi Kriya Shema Pater Deboi Kivana Kimo Dechasen Pater. And when it comes to a chasen on his first night, we say he doesn't say the Shema. Why? Because he won't have the proper Kivana, right? So when it comes to the Shema, on one level, Tosfos is saying there'd be more of a reason to have to say it, because it's a mitzvah passes by. But on the other hand, we know that because the Shema requires an element of kavanah, which other mitzvahs do not require, because of that, the Gemara mentions not only you put from the Shema, of course you put from the Shema, how can you be possibly digging and having the kavanah, but you're also put from the Kol Mitzvah Semuras B'Torah as well. So how does that answer your question? So what he's saying is that
he puts it in a different category.
Right, he says Shema is not just mitzvah veres, it's also an element of kavanah. Right, it's right. So that's why he mentions he.
But what about the Gemara Sukkah? When he mentioned the Osef Mitzvah Patzav Mitzvah, they don't mention Shema specifically, do they? I think they just say Osef Mitzvah
Patzav Mitzvah. When the Gemara says Osef Mitzvah Patzav Mitzvah, one of over there in Masechta Sukkah, one of the two sources that they derive that
this Gemara.
It's not from this Gemara. It's from Kriya Shema. We learn it out from Kriya Shema. Because the Pasuk, we actually had this in the Gemara before, that the Pasuk says, Ubelechtecha v'derech, right? It says that that the only time that you have to say the Shema is when you are traveling on the road. Which means you're doing your own affairs. You're busy doing whatever you're doing, but you're not doing a mitzvah. Implying that if it wasn't v'lechtecha, you're going, but rather Hashem tells you to go and do a mitzvah, then you'd be potter. So we learn out the whole idea of osek mitzvah from Kriya Shema itself, from the psukim thereof. At least that's one of the two sources over there from psukim in that masechta that teaches us osek mitzvah potter the psukim. Okay, so let's continue. And that was a sidebar. You do not have to say the Shema. You're potter from Kriya Shema. Osek mitzvah potter. Continues the Gemara first, medium-sized line. Hagiyazman Kriya Shema, once the time of Shema comes about, so let's say you were digging this grave at 2 in the morning, digging at 3, it's 4, it's 6, all of a sudden the sun is up. Now it's Zman Kriya Shema. Oil of a Noitel Yadav, get up, wash your hands, and you have tefillin, Kor Kriya Shema, and Mispal. Right, that's what you're supposed to do. So Gemara asks, one second, Hagufa Kasha. That in itself is an apparent contradiction. The first part of that verse said that if you're busy digging, what? Patami Krishna. And what did we just say in the Seif of the latter part of the verse? As soon as that sun begins to rise, get up.
Right. So well, it's a different situation.
Why?
One, you're involved in the mitzvah. Yes. Directly, and you have to do it. You're doing it. The other one, there's a lot of time elapsing, and
the language of the language of the Bryce over here. It says Higiyazman Kriya Shema, which could be that the time is about to pass. But Higiyazman Kriya Shema sounds as though you now have the opportunity to say it, which means that you still probably have a good couple hours ahead of you. It's Higiyazman Kriya Shema. It's reached this time, said Shema. But I hear what you're saying. But that apparently, at this point, this brisa is not really differentiating and distinguishing between this action. They're still doing the exact same action. They're still digging this kever. So the question is, why in the Reish does it say your patami Kriya Shema, tefillin, Kol Mitzvah Torah? And the latter part of the Braisa says that you have to do this whole process. So the Gemara answers Holokasha, Seifa betray Vereisha Bechad. The Seifa is betray, two. And the Reish is Chad, one. What does that mean?
So people.
Two people, exactly. So what does that mean? So if there's two people that are there, and let's just make it simple, there's one shovel, right? So you're taking turns anyway. So when it comes to Zman Kriya Shema, so let one person continue working, and you'll say, you'll be Mekabel Malch Shemayim. You'll do this whole step, this whole process. And then after you finish, then you'll go and he'll do it. But the Reisha is Bechad. You're the only one there. And if you stop, there's no one to pick up the where you left off. So therefore, the Reisha, when it says you're Pater, is because you're the only one. The Sefer, which says you're Chayim, says that you're chayav to say the Shema is because there's someone else to assist you. Mikol Makum Kashal Rav. Nonetheless, it's a question on Rav. The whole reason why we brought down that whole story was not to really differentiate and distinguish between one person and two people, but rather to quote the Seifa of this Brisa. What was the Seifa of the Brisa? The Seifa said, which was, again, the first medium-sized line, that what should you do when it reaches this Zman Kriya Shema? Oila, get up. Noitel Yada, wash your hands. Then what are you supposed to do? What does it say? Meniach Tefillin, Dikar Kriya Shema. So what comes first, the Tefillin or the Shema? Tefillin. So how could you, Rav, as we saw at the very... that dot, Rav Mashi Yadavikar Krishma Vanach Tefillin. How could he have been done such a thing? How could he possibly have gone out of order when clearly you're supposed to first put on the Tefillin and then only afterwards recite the Shema? So that's the Kasha. That's, we brought that whole statement, the whole Brisa, just to prove that that is the proper way of doing things. First put on the Tefillin, then say the Shema. So how come Rav didn't do this? Okay. So listen to this. This is what the what I asked as a question. This is what the Gemara now poses as a potential answer. Rav Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Svirulei. Rav holds like Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha. This is going to answer one of the questions that I mentioned before. What does Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha say? Why do we say the first paragraph of Shema before Bohem Shemoa? Yomer, because he says, Ol Malchus Shemaim Tchila, V'Yachrakach Ol Mitzvos. So what? So what is Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha teaching us? That when it comes to Tefillin, which is Ol Mitzvos, and the reciting of the Shema, which is Ol Malchus Shemaim, which of the two are you supposed to do first? You're supposed to do Shema. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha clearly holds, apparently, that you're supposed to first say the Shema, and then put on the Tefillin. You have to first be Mekabel Olam Ol Malchus Shemayim, then Ol Mitzvos. So Gemara says, no. That's a complete misreading of what Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha meant. Amar Ki'om Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha Lahaktin Kriya L'Kriya. Amar, when did Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha say this? It just meant with regard to which paragraph should be said first. Shema, Bohem Shema, that's what he meant. Kriya L'Kriya, one reading to another reading. But Kriya L'Asiya Mishamasle, from reading to action, that he wasn't talking about. Vesu furthermore, Misavale Rabbi Yeshua ben Karcha, do we in fact hold like this statement? V'yomer Rav Chiya Barashi, Zimnin Sagin Havi Kamina Kamedi Rav. And what happened when we're in front of Rav? Umachdim Rav elsewhere would get up. Umash v'yadi, wash his hands. Umevarech, say a bracha. Masal and Pirkin, he would learn, teach us the Torah. Umanach tefillin v'hadar kari kriyashma. So what do we see? We see that Rav over here really did the correct thing. He didn't hold a Gemisha ben Karcha. He generally does first put on his tefillin, then only afterwards does he say the Shema. So therefore, because of this, the question still stands. Why, if generally Rav would put on his tefillin and then say the Shema, why over here did he not do so? We're just going to burn to the end of the Gemara. Next time we learn this, we have to go, there's a lot more to discuss. The Chim Toimer, if you want to say, but the low month is my Kriya Shema, maybe that's the time. The reason why he didn't put say the Shema, it hasn't reached the time. Imkein my sided Rav Chiya Barashi. Why is he really? What is he proving over here? Lafuki maman di omer lemishna in tzarech lebarach kamashma on the apple mishna nami tzarech lebarach. Mikol makim kasha Rav. So why did Rav do this? Why did he first say the Shema and not put on the tefillin if you're really supposed to put on the tefillin first? Where it answers, Shlucha Hud on the Ach. It was the Shliach that made a mistake, which means really he does put on tefillin first. But he was sitting there waiting for the person to bring his tefillin. He was waiting at 8 o'clock, at 8:30, at 9 o'clock, and he saw his Sozman Kriya Shema was at 9:03. He realized it was too late. So if he didn't Chaparayan and said his Shema at that moment, he would have missed the Zman Kriya Shema. Right, so the whole story is only because he didn't have tefillin. Certainly, if he had the tefillin, he certainly put them on and then recited the Kriya Shema. Again, there's a lot more to discuss. We'll do that next time.